The Gospel for today is taken from the 20th chapter of the Gospel of John. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who is called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
A reminder of God's love. Gail Frary, on her Facebook page, shared a poem by Pablo Neruda. Have any of you heard of him? Pablo, some of you have? Okay. I hadn't heard about him before I read this poem on Gail's Facebook page, and I thought, who is this poet? And so I looked him up, and he was a Chilean poet and a politician. And although he was extremely popular in South America, he's not as well known in North America because he wrote his poetry naturally in Spanish. And because of, as you know, translations of words and things, it's hard to capture sometimes the heart and spirit of a word in one language in another. And so translators often found his poetry difficult to translate. But so not too many of his works were actually translated from Spanish into English. But this particular poem that Gail shared translates into something that I think we can all understand. He writes, "You start dying slowly if you do not travel, if you do not read, if you do not listen to the sounds of life, if you do not appreciate yourself. You start dying slowly when you kill your self-esteem, when you do not let others help you. You start dying slowly if you become a slave to your habits, walking every day on the same path. If you do not change your routine, if you do not wear different colors, or do not speak to those you do not know. You start dying slowly if you avoid feeling passion and its turbulent emotions, those that make your eyes glisten and your heart beat fast. You start dying slowly if you do not change your life, when you are not satisfied with your job or with your love or with your surroundings. If you do not risk what is safe for the uncertain, if you do not go after a dream, If you do not allow yourself, at least once in your lifetime, to run away from sensible advice. I like that. You know, you start dying slowly. What a powerful image. And I couldn't help but think as I read that poem about how the disciples were feeling after Jesus' death, as if they too were dying slowly. Because fear and all that comes with it was holding them captive. I mean, literally, captive in a room. They had locked themselves in a room, hiding, not even willing to risk being seen. And that's understandable, isn't it? I mean, Jesus was killed. He was charged with treason and then received a death sentence because he challenged the authorities, their religious authorities, that the way things were not the way God intended them to be. With his very life, he proclaimed that no one, absolutely no one, is outside of God's mercy. That there is no one, absolutely no one, who is untouchable by grace. He intentionally reached out to the poor, to the sick, to the marginalized, to the outcast, to the excluded. He ate dinner regularly with tax collectors and sinners. He hung out with smelly fishermen. And he had compassion on the crowds of people that followed him. And as he did, he declared, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." With his very life, Jesus revealed the truth of God, the way of love, and what it means to truly live. And this life got him crucified. No wonder the disciples were hiding. But Jesus never, ever wants us to be held captive by fear. By our fear or our doubts. Because fear keeps us, our doubts keep us from living out our faith. Our faith in a compassionate and loving and merciful God who calls us to be compassionate and merciful and loving. Too easily we rationalize our fear or our doubts with what sounds like sensible advice. Reasonable explanations. Too many what ifs or can'ts. Jesus doesn't want us to be held captive by fear because when we are withholding the very love of God from the people who need it the most. And we start dying slowly. As individuals and as a church. Jesus comes back to us again and again and again, and he calls us to step out in faith. He calls us to risk living out what we believe about God to be loving and compassionate and merciful. So I have a question for you. At this point in your life, we have many different stages of life here today. At this point in your own life, how is God challenging you to step outside of your fear, to step outside of your doubts, and step forward in faith? How is God challenging you to step outside of your fear and your doubts and step forward in faith? And maybe I need to caution you a bit. Beware, because if you ask God this question, if you prayerfully ask God this question, God's going to answer you. You will get an answer. It won't always be written on a billboard or in flashing lights or handed to you on a piece of paper. But believe me, you will know. You will know because the Holy Spirit's going to keep nudging you. Those little nudges that you feel, that is the Holy Spirit. And even if you ignore this nudging by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's very persistent and will keep on nudging you. And you will know it in your heart. You will know it because your heart might start beating a little bit faster. You might even feel a little out of breath. You might even break out in a little bit of a sweat. And you'll probably feel a little afraid. Then you will know that God is answering you. That God is calling you to step out of your fear and your doubts into faith. Don't be afraid to ask that question. Because even more frightening than asking that question and listening to God's answer is to ignore it, to never ask, to do nothing. That's more scary, I think, than living out how God is calling you to live. It's not easy to step out in faith. There's always a risk. Yet we know that we're not alone because Jesus is with us. He breathes on us with that life-giving Holy Spirit. And he blesses us. He blesses each and every one of us in the midst of our fear and our doubts with the gift of peace. Now, this peace doesn't mean that we suddenly get all the answers, that we have no more uncertainties. But it is a peace that gives clarity. Clarity and meaning and purpose in the midst of all the unknowns. God wants us to live abundantly, to love abundantly, to take that risk, to reach out in love. And to do so, to take that risk, that step of faith, and another step of faith, and another step of faith, is to fully live the way that God intended us to live. To risk love. Amen.